And that's as good as it gets, so we don't have any extras. All right, let's stand, please. All right. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." There's a lot of more taught in these passages than I'm going to teach, and even possibly. I'm just dealing with the subject of witnessing, soul winning, whatever term you prefer, evangelism. Not even trying to make anybody happy or make anybody mad. We're just going to talk about it in a broad way, part of this series that I'm dealing with, this subject. We'll read the next two verses, I'm not going to go back through anything. We talked about the first week, no soul winning, which is basically a form of hyper-Calvinism, of which Ralph Warren has never seen that in action outside of Christians, meaning I've never seen anybody theoretically that way. I'm sure there are some. And there are little bitty groups that are theoretically against evangelism, that are true hyper-Calvinist. On the other side is the Arminian view, and the farther you go, the more you get, which is soul winning as a technique. And the techniques just keep increasing and becoming goofier and goofier and goofier, where Christianity is almost mocked by the world. So the world looks at Christians and kind of snickers. It's like, what won't you do to get people to come to church? And the answer is nothing. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's Arminian is that way. There's a range of opinions. Somewhere in the middle is where I hold, and I think where the church officially holds. I'm going to call it soul winning plus. That's where we're going to focus. After we read these two verses, I'm going to talk about these people in passing. All of this happened in my life. I like to give my own personal examples because it's called real world stuff as opposed to religion. This happened from 1977 in December to May 1981. So these are people that I actually knew, you know, talked to, witnessed to. This is not Jack Hiles' time, long ago, far away soul winning stories. This isn't, I went to the Philippines and had 2 million people saved. Which a lot of fundamentalists do that kind of thing. And they have these numbers and you're like, where are the churches at? Where are the people at? Well, that's beside the point. That goes back to this Arminian soul winning as a technique. I'm going to talk about some real people. Some of them you will know, some of them you won't. Let's read the last two verses, or the last few verses. For so hath the Lord commanded us in verse 47, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. That doesn't mean, you know, coast would just be the outskirts of the city is the idea. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So we're going to look at, broadly speaking, this middle view. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I do ask that you would bless our time together. This would be a profitable morning as we try to continue and maybe try to wrap some things up this morning. Bless, Lord, our time, we ask, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In your notes, under Soul Winning Plus, that's just my nomenclature, my name for this. To me, this is obviously biblical, but it is also quite difficult. As I said last week as we began this, what do we find? And by the way, this is what we find in the Word of God. And frankly, I find it all through the Word of God. So sometimes when I read about either direction, this, whether it's in theory, which there is a little bit of this in theory, or in practice, or the other direction, which just becomes lunacy. I don't even know how to describe it. I received of a new church plan in the city of Chicago, and I'm like, I cannot imagine why I would go to church and not just go to the tavern. James McDonald's son is starting a church in Chicago. They are so cool and so hip that it's like, well, why don't you just stay home? What's the point of this? And I guess the point is Americans still need a little religion, not much of anything else. And it's basically techniques, whatever will get people in the door, whatever people want to hear, and it goes on and on. So, Soul Winning Plus, what is it? In your notes, number one, we gave this last week, the necessity of sharing, preaching, proclaiming the what? I don't care what words you use. I don't want you to think, most of the time in the New Testament, most of the time when this word is found, see this word? Most of the time, that's not talking about what I do. Sometimes it's just the word laleo, which means to speak. Sometimes it's euangelizomai, which means to share the gospel. Occasionally it's keruso, which means to proclaim. But most of the time, it's not. When I say preaching, I'm not talking about that fundamentalist picture of the guy doing this, the Billy Sunday thing. That has nothing to do with preaching. When most of the time, when it talks about Paul preaching, it's using euangelizomai, it's using laleo, which means to speak. Sometimes it's a word that means to reason. So, by the way, do you preach? The answer is, you better. We're not talking about what I do publicly. We're talking about what we do. I have to clarify that because some of us have different ideas of what preaching is. There is a public keruso, public proclamation. I get that. I do that. But that's not what I'm talking about. So if you look at the verses, I'm not going to repeat what we talked about last week. Acts 13, it talks about Jews and Gentiles in your notes. In verse 44, it talks about came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And by the way, most American pastors would love to have a reaction like that. Verse 45, the multitudes. Verse 46, speaking specifically to the Jews. But I'm not trying to do anything about Jewish evangelism. I'm just saying this. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. There is a necessity of sharing the gospel, preaching it, proclaiming it, sharing it, whatever term you want to use. It is something we must do. As I ask under the verses, do we need to repeat the obvious? Go ye means you all. Therefore, and teach all nations, that is the initial teaching, the making of disciples, and then baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things. That is the Great Commission. All parts of that are together. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, the problem with this is the no soul winning, it is a direct denial of Scripture. It's just a direct, it's just something that I am not going to talk to people about the gospel. Whether it's theoretical or practical, the Bible teaches us to spread the gospel, period. We can go to the next page, please. Acts chapter 1, of course, has the same concept, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I mean, there's just something about sharing the gospel every place. B. Now, everyone look up here before you. The notes are not important. You do realize. Notes are just for you to think. They're not for you to fill in. Some of you can fill in, don't have a clue what we're talking about. In real soul winning. Both sides, extremes, are not real. One side, there is no soul winning. There is no witnessing to anybody. We just kind of cruise through life, minding our own business, taking care of ourselves. This side has numbers and hoopla. But it's very interesting the kind of numbers and hoopla it doesn't have. Because every place but one or two in the Bible, and Matthew 13, which gives us the course of this age, you don't find thousands saved. You find something different. This is what you have. We'll look at a couple places. You have a variety of responses. A variety of responses. Let's see if we can dig out some of those varieties. Would you read with me? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Sometimes you're going to have people that, well, go ahead and fill it in underneath. Here's what it is. Here's the response. And I've had this response. I've had this response in other ways too. Which is this. Wait. Now, where I went to school, that was of the devil if somebody said to wait. Oh my goodness, buttonhole those people, zip them down, tie them up, get them to pray a prayer. Just an abomination to God, Scripture, and by the way, to the person you're talking to. I don't want somebody treating me as an animal cracker. You shouldn't treat somebody as an animal cracker. There's just something about that junk. I don't have any other words for it. By the way, some people say, hey, we want to hear more of this. Maybe they were people that had never heard anything. They just wanted to hear. Verse 43. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So, secondly, you might have this. How about this? Conversion. Some folks get saved. Does that make sense? You're preaching the gospel. Of course, this was a great opportunity, whole city, but you have some folks that get saved. You have some conversions. In this particular case, most of them were Jewish, are somehow connected Gentiles to one degree or another. I think I've already done this, but in the Jewish synagogue in the first century, you have the core, which were Jewish. And I cannot, right around this little edges of this, you have a very small group of people that became proselytes. And then there tended to be a large group in some cities of the God-fearers. That has not been like that since the first century, but in the first century, it was like that. And many of these, some of the Jews, some of the proselytes, and later, a lot of the God-fearers were Gentiles that were connected to the synagogue were very interested. We continue. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. Wow. So I might call this, how about this? Interest. Now, in my lifetime, I haven't seen whole cities given this way. Sometimes you hear of this. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. God can work. God does work. I would say don't hold your breath where you work on everybody there being interested. If you go that route, you're going to be in trouble. But in this case, that's what you had. You had some serious interest. So, verse 45, and when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? What? And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. I'm going to guess you're going to have a little bit of this. Persecution. What do you think? And what is the number one reason Christians don't witness? They know something. If you start talking, people aren't going to be happy, so you go underground. And it'd be interesting for somebody to drop in where you live and work and see if you've ever talked to anybody. It doesn't take years to figure this out. I've already told you this. This is the third set of stories that I have given you from different times in my life. These aren't imaginary people, real people. When I get done with this, I'll go through this list. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know. In your notes. So you have some persecution. Let's just use another word. You also have some opposition. Don't you think? And that those might be the same. They might be somewhat different. And I will say this. The moment you really start sharing the gospel with somebody, you're going to have blowback. Now, what happens? Tim, can you come up here, Tim McGrail? Now, Tim McGrail is a solid guy. We share that in common. Don't ever be fooled by what most Christians are fooled by. Some people you walk up to, and you push them. No, that's pretty solid. Immediately you get blowback. Some people, it seems like you can just push and push, and they just want to talk. And I've said this before. The ones that want to talk almost never get saved. The ones that give you opposition, there's hope with that group. Why? They're thinking about what you're saying. Yes, maybe they're convicted, maybe they're questioning, maybe they... This is the funny part. You have the person that gives you blowback, and that's the person you run from. And you talk to that religious goofball. We used to have a lady in this church. I love her to death. She's as favored as any woman here. She'd bring every religious goofball to this church, and they were these people that would talk about Buddhism one day, Islam the next, you know, coexist the next. They just like to talk about religion. I've never seen one of those people get saved, ever. The people that get saved usually give you some good old-fashioned opposition. Sometimes that blurs over to, thank you. It's possible you could get fired from your job. First thing comes out of your mouth, well, Pastor Warren, I couldn't do that. Maybe that's the problem in American Christendom. What do you think? Continue. Verse 50. Just look at verse 50, please. But the Jews stirred up the, notice this language, the what? Devout and what? We're talking about this group here, this group of Gentiles that are technically called God-fearers. There's several different names for them. They were Gentiles. They were people that were important. They often attached to the Jewish synagogue because Judaism made more sense than the Roman and Greek religions or anything else in that part of the world. And they would believe to some degree these things. Well, Paul seems always first when he went to a city to go to this group. And this small group, and I mean, he preached to all of them, but he had a lot of people getting saved out of that group that were connected to the synagogue. Then he would go out into the streets, the agora, out into the marketplace to talk to people. But, you know, so you get some good old-fashioned, how about this, confusion. Friends, if you cannot answer questions, you know, I preach and teach and preach and teach. Let me say this, 99% of your questions, I want you to tell me from your personal story, what are 99% of questions that unsaved people have? What? That's an answer they're going to give. What are the kind of questions that people ask you? I wish they asked me questions like this. Would you please explain the lapsarian controversy? Or the teleological argument for God? You're going to get a lot of bad things happening to good people. Oh, yes. And that's going to be underlying lots of conversations. Yes. Yeah, and unless they know you, they don't have an answer to that. Tim? Well, you get questions. You just don't, you don't recognize them. The question comes before the blowback. Yeah. Well, yes. Which means you're getting someplace. That's the confusion. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Yes. Jim, what do you think?
Well, a lot of it is, in my case, they agree and they talk about, you know, but then they turn around and put their own
spin on things. You're the boss. They can't agree. They can't. Oh, that puts you in another bad spot. Sounds like you're good if you're the person in charge, but in reality, you have to be careful because you're the guy in charge. And, you know, then you have to go above and beyond to make sure their evals are fair. Young lady. And that's not a bad conversation to have. Rhonda, you said, I think what you said is an underlying question that any normal human would have that thinks. And you don't even have to be real intelligent. You're going to think about why. But, I mean, come on, folks. Listen to me. I talked to Chuck Ells this week. Chuck Ells is a Christian. He's a Baptist pastor of two Baptist churches. He is more godly than I have ever been. And his wife, does anybody know how, Frenchie, how old is Chuck Ells' wife? Give me an approximation. She's 54. She is totally paralyzed except her right, is it right or left, Jenny? I can't remember. She can use a little bit and she can talk. And it doesn't look like she's ever getting better. That's the question people are going to have. And boy, if you answer that in a slipshod way, well, you know, God is good all the time. Really? I'm going to tell you what I found. Now, this doesn't happen when you're your age, ladies. Are you all ready for this? I'm not talking about preaching publicly. I'm talking about the number one questions I had, always. Even today, when people find out I'm a Christian, most people have problems in their marriage and most people have problems with their children. Hello? You're thinking you're going to go there and going to solve the book of Revelation and tell them about their... Oh, come on. This is some of this is being wise as Christians, knowing where the portals to talk to people. And yes, you ought to be something different about the way your children look than the way unsaved children look. Is that always the case? I hate to go to Christmas time and see all of the kids in my broader family getting their little toys for Christmas so they can become more brain dead. I do think Christianity ought to make a difference. I'm going to come back to this in a moment. Does this make sense to you folks? There ought to be a variety of responses to the gospel. If there is not, the gospel isn't being preached. Something else is being preached. Sister Nancy. Catholics is a whole different world. When I was a young guy, Catholics, and I'm not ancient now. Yet I'm moving towards ancient. Back in the 70s, Catholics, you could go after them with just the gospel because most of them felt guilty. But Catholicism in America has kind of become like liberal Protestantism. So you start talking about, if you ask a Catholic, well, the Catholic Church teaches this, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, I don't believe that. The Catholic, I don't believe that. You go down 15 things that they don't believe, and I don't mean small things. Yet, they're still Catholic. I'm not giving you the answer, folks. I'm just simply saying there's going to be a variety of responses. You're going to have that. Now, I'm going to come to this, but let's look at another text. You know, so we don't have this. This can be found in many places. This is, of course, in, now I got to say this word properly. I just came back from Central Illinois, and they butcher language down there, especially names. How do they say the Athens? They say Athens. If you know where the big town of Athens, Illinois is, it's a sprawling metropolitan city near Springfield. It's a city of Athens, Greece. Paul has preached, talked. It says, and when they heard of the resurrection, what? Somewhat. Friend, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have people make fun of you. If you can't deal with that, then that's the reason we move over to a hyper-Calvinistic position. Or we move the other direction where we're selling a Jesus that doesn't exist in the Bible. I had the displeasure. I mean, it's a displeasure. You know, you do your Bible reading and towards the end of the year you get to books like Zephaniah. Have you read it recently? Zephaniah could not be read in 95% of evangelical churches today. If the pastor just read the book, people wouldn't come back. So even in the evangelical church which believes in the Bible, not all of it. You say, well, it's negative, folks. My point is, you're going to have people mock you. You got to. People aren't going to like what you have to say. Others said, I love this, and others said, what did they say? Wait, yes. Well, we need to talk more about this, or I don't understand. By the way, that's a beautiful thing. Don't force people. I know people will say, what if they died tomorrow? They'd go to hell. Is your God that much of a pipsqueak? That's ridiculous. We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So you have a variation of response. Now, personal testimony, no secrets here. I worked here at Great Lakes. I got here in December of 77. I left May of 81. So all real people. I look at Frank Passalacqua. Most of you know who he is. Frank got saved. I led his wife to the Lord, Frank and Kathy. No question. You know, real saved, you know what save means? I'm not talking about numbers, decisions, hoopla, smoke, and then nothing after the smoke. They got saved. They joined this church, bought the house that you live in, Brian, gave it to the church. Dan Pacheco got saved. Henry Gondek, not just with me. Mike had a big influence on him, but he was one of the sailors. There was a large group of sailors. Some were already saved. Jim Dewar. Yeah, but Russ didn't come to the Bible study very often. I'm thinking about the Bible study I had in the lab. Who was the other guy? Other people. So there were some people that got saved. This one here, not as much to do with me as it did Mike. Some other people that got saved, I don't even remember their names. There was another guy that worked there. I can't remember his name. He married a girl from this church. And there were, so of this group, here's what I experienced. 3-point-something years here in one location. Look at me, talking to real people, not doing my Baptist thing, hiding out in the corner. You say, Pastor, don't you believe in soul winning? Yes. I remember the redneck fundamentalists would say, do you believe in lifestyle evangelism? And I'm like, is there any other kind? You mean you expect people to get saved, they don't know who you are? Really? You're telling about the most important. By the way, most people get saved because they know people. And most people, you know, it's just a fact. I believe in talking to people too. Here's been my experience. The vast majority of people I work with this group, guess what happened to them? They didn't get saved, didn't listen to me one way or the other. Small group of people got saved. Everybody, not everybody, but a group in here knows. I work with Mrs. Turner. Mrs. Turner's, that wasn't her real, that was her married name. Mrs. Turner is gone now. Mrs. Turner was Jewish. Her family was from Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine. I was there the day witnessing to Mrs. Turner. This is not your religious story. I'm talking about real people. Her looking at me saying, Ralph, I could never believe in Jesus. Christians killed my whole family. Did you hear me? Christians. And they did. By the way, my doctor, Jenny, your doctor, Dobrin, or Dennis, excuse me, Dr. Dobrin, well, I don't know what the name of that practice is. Dr. Dobrin is Jewish. My guy, the other guy I go to, Dr. Cohen, good Irish name. I mean, all Jewish people. If you talk to Jewish people and you start spouting foolishness, I'm going to give you the bad news. I hope you know this. If you talk to a Jewish person and you tell them a Baptist, you're a Baptist, tell me what that means to them. Anybody, do you know? Jim. Well, they have to. By the way, you would too. If you talk to a Jewish person and you say you're a Baptist, or if you don't want to use Baptist, you think that'll offend them, which it won't, they assume Baptist is some form of Catholic. They do not think being a Baptist makes you different. And who do you think killed their family? Lutherans, Catholics, and Orthodox. And by the way, Jim, it didn't go to the Holocaust. How about 1648? The first great Holocaust. When the Hetman of Ukraine got in power and just massacred Jews by the tens of thousands. This has gone on for centuries. So when you go to them and say you're a Christian, no matter what you say, they're thinking you're a Catholic. And Catholics call Jews Christ killers. Let me ask you, would you right now, if I brought you right here, be able to demonstrate from the Bible that Jews are not responsible for killing Jesus? Could you do it right now? If you can't, don't talk to Jews. Because, Rhonda, they're not thinking about what good things happen to, bad things happen to good people. They're thinking their people. And they're wondering why Christians have murdered them. How about this? Do you remember 1492? Sorry, I'm assuming everybody here knows history. I'm assuming you know what happened in 1492. What? Columbus discovered America. Two other events in the country of Spain. The Jews were deprived and had impure blood. 1492, three things happened in Spain. Christopher Columbus came here under the authority of the king and queen. Number two, the fall of Granada in the end of the Reconquista, the reconquering of Muslim lands in Spain. And number three, the Jews were expelled from Spain. Do you think people have sharp memories? And you go up there and want to talk to them about Jesus, and they're thinking, oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, then the Jews, you had three choices. You could leave. Where could you go? You say, I'd go to England. Really? The Jews hadn't been allowed in England for a couple hundred years before that. They wouldn't be allowed in England till when? Somebody tell me. There's a guy named Oliver Cromwell let the Jews come back to England. 1640s. So they had to leave. They had to convert. There was a third option. Die. Welcome to Christianity. So most Jews, either many left and tried to hide in certain places, and many of them converted, but they were called really nasty names because they were assumed that they really didn't convert, and many of them really didn't. I saw a special one time on a lady. I cannot remember her name. She was Hispanic. She was part of Reagan and Bush Sr.'s government. Her family was from Mexico. When they did the DNA, they found that a large swath of it was Jewish. And she says, but her family was Catholic. But they had habits. When certain Catholic things happened, they would turn the other way. That had stuck in this family for 400 years. And they didn't know why when Mary was lifted up, they would look the other way. That was part of their way of remaining Jewish while pretending to be Catholic. Friend, if you're going to witness to people, the stuff I preach and teach, it's got to be something different than a joke. And if you're going to talk to Jewish people, I'll just give you one other hint. If you're going to talk to Jewish people, you better know something about Judaism and actually like people that's different than you. And they'll be able to determine that real quickly. Yes, I'm actually talking to Dr. Cohen. He's one of my dentists. He has a taken name of Cohen. Atong, do you know what the word Cohen means? Let's see, it's like this. It's like this. It is the Hebrew word for priest or high priest. The Kohanim. Yeah, by the way, he knows that. Do you? Let me ask you a question. I want somebody to raise their hand. Did Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? How do we know? Show me. Yes, John chapter 10. Friends, we're ignorant people. The Feast of the Hanukkah means dedication, folks. Just a Hebrew word. It's not a magic word. All right, I'm not trying to be mean here. I think we'll continue this. Here were some of my responses. Mrs. Turner was a lady that for probably two years, I talked to many times. She was very open. She liked me. She liked my wife. When I came back to this area 15 years after having moved, what did we do, Jenny? Struck up a conversation with Mrs. Turner again. Mrs. Turner now had some problems. I don't remember what disease she had, some horrible disease. She could barely walk. I took Mrs. Turner out to eat a couple different times, and through the process of time, some of you remember Mrs. Turner got saved and came to this church until she died. Oh, that happened in 5 minutes because we compromise the gospel and Christianity so people will listen. You see, folks, soul winning is not a joke. Now, there's another guy, one of my favorite people. When I went to Great Lakes, he was a E6. I was an E4. By the time I left, I was E5, and he was E7 on his way to E8. The best way to describe Bill, and I'll just use his first name, was he's Cliff Cavallis. You knew one thing about him when you saw him as a young man. He's going to be E9 Master Chief of something. Just a phew. And he retired Master Chief of the Command Naval Hospital. Doesn't surprise me one bit. I talked to Bill many times. By the way, liked him. He was just a super sailor, super med tech. Just everything about Bill was good. Bill, Polish last name, nice guy, not particularly religious. When I came back 15 years later from 81 to 96, guess what I did? Contacted him too. Contacted him, didn't get a call back, didn't hear from him, contacted him again, didn't get a call back. Oh my goodness, whenever Mr. Burfield was in the hospital down at down south here, whenever that was, I used to visit Mr. Burfield once or twice a week. I'm pulling into the parking lot, I'm getting out of my car, I look over there, and it's like, there's Bill. I walk over to him, and he bowed down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He actually looked at me and says, "I don't even remember you." Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be mean to any of you. If you don't have stories like this, what are you doing? It's one thing for Pastor Warren to teach theology, and some of you, it's so nice that Pastor Warren helps me understand. Friend, what are you doing? Now, this stuff takes time, work, effort. People don't like you. Some people hate you. I've already demonstrated that in different locations. I could demonstrate that as a pastor, too. In your notes. You say, what does Soul Winning Plus look like? It looks like the necessity of sharing, preaching, proclaiming the gospel. B, a variety of responses. C, an intensity of emotion or emotional responses. That is just part of it. Some people were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. You get emotions on all sides. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast or the outskirts of their city. I say in your notes, it is impossible to discuss eternal matters and not stir up extreme emotions. And then I ask a question, is this why most Christians stop witnessing? Now, so I'm going to ask you that question. Is that the reason you don't witness? Because you know, you start talking to people about matter. Listen, Pastor Warren, if you don't, I've realized some folks don't know me well at all, which is kind of weird. Some of you think I'm a people person, that I just love to sit around and do small talk. You want me to shoot myself? Let me do small talk. You want me to shoot you? You want me to shoot you? Let me do a lot of small talk. I prefer to think. I love to talk to people that can have ideas. And if you don't, I don't know. But I can go talk to people, unsaved people and saved people. I can talk about, if I'm in St. Louis, Springfield, I can talk about the Cardinals. And guess what people like to talk about? Nothing. Sports, what the latest Kim Kardashian foolishness is, the pig life of Hollywood. That's our life. I want to tell you something. You start talking about things that matter, and people are going to have some pretty emotional responses. Now, here's the good news. If they come to Christ, that's a beautiful thing. You're going to see people glad. Then you're going to have other responses. It's just part of witnessing. So I want to ask you a question. Why don't you talk to people? The church is not the guy you're looking at. I'm just a Christian. When I'm out in the world, I'm just a Christian like you. I'm not a pastor. I pastor this flock. I would say we don't like emotional responses. Like the young lady, they got saved in this church and school. I married her and her husband, and when she visits this area, she doesn't even come to church, because her family will be mad if she leaves the family and comes to church. I mean, this is the compromise that we are willing to compromise. Now, my question is, do you reckon those folks are ever going to get saved when the only gospel witness... In your notes. The last concept you'll see, which we'll pick up next week, is the sovereignty of God and grace in salvation. As the text says, and as many as were ordained, appointed to eternal life, believed. My friend, if you think there's some technique you can get and everybody's just going to fall at Jesus' feet, good luck. What I find is, I find all four of these concepts, it's necessary that you and I proclaim the gospel in one way or another. I find there's a variety of responses. There's emotions connected to this, and God in His sovereign grace saves some. By the way, Frank Passalacqua is not a Baptist name. Passalacqua, I think, is Italian. I think he was Catholic. How did God save him? Sovereignty of grace and salvation. God saves. And as many as were appointed are ordained to eternal life believed. Does that mean you only witness to people that are elect? What planet are you from? How would you know? And why would you care? You've been commanded to preach the gospel too. But the blessing is God saves. By the way, Passalacqua, when I first heard that name, nobody could spell it. Then I found out, you know what Passalacqua means? Pass the water. Can you imagine? Aqua, water. I'm like, all that word for my name means pass the water. Now, Frank's in heaven. The guy I used to have Bible studies down the base and saw his family grow up and had contact through the years is in heaven. His wife is broken. Let me ask you a question. When we leave here today, are you going to have any idea what soul winning is all about? Are you going to go back to your little doing what you always do, which is nothing? Because God forbid that I talk to my family, they might get mad. Really? I'm going to say this and I'm done. I don't think you should try to get people mad in your family. I got a brother-in-law I tried to talk to over Christmas. You know who he is, Jenny. I don't know if he's ever had a thought about Christianity. He'd like to talk about basketball. Not the NBA, high school. He keeps up with all the schools around Springfield, football, baseball, basketball, and that's his life. He's a smart guy. He graduated from college with a degree. His major was in math. By the way, folks, he also looks at Christians. Everybody look at me. He looks at Christians, and guess what he sees? People that are less successful than his unsaved kids. His unsaved kids have gone to college. The Christian kids, none of them make it to college. They barely make it out of high school. We're going to pray. We'll pick up here next week. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity of gathering together. May you bless the service this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.